When you are hanging by a thread, make sure it's in the hem of his garment.
We are Saints in the South, your source for gospel growth and good times. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Saints in the South, episode 213. Good to be back. Good to be with you as we are looking forward to this coming Easter weekend. Going to be exciting. So if this is your first time to the show, please subscribe. Hit your notification bell so you can be notified every time a new video comes out. Sometimes we put out shorts. Sometimes we put out linger longer videos. And sometimes we put out our Come Follow Me. So
every now and then.
We've gotten pretty good. We do them. We do our Come Follow Me weekly, released every Sunday, Monday-ish. And the linger longers are Wednesday-ish. Shorts are you never know when. Short clips, you never know when. This week, it's Easter week. And to start it out, going to read from Come Follow Me. The ancient apostles were bold in their testimonies of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Millions of people believe in Jesus Christ and try to follow him because of their words recorded in the Bible. Yet some people might wonder, if Jesus Christ is the Savior of the whole world, then why were his eyewitnesses limited to a handful of people in one small region? The Book of Mormon stands as an additional convincing witness that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, manifesting himself unto all nations and offering salvation to all who come unto him. In addition, this second witness also makes it clear what salvation means. This is why Nephi, Jacob, Mormon, and all the prophets labored so diligently to engrave in these words upon plates, to declare to future generations that they too knew of Christ and had a hope of his glory. This Easter season, reflect on the testimonies in the Book of Mormon that the Savior's power is both universal and personal, redeeming the whole world and redeeming you.
Amen.
You know, when Gary E. Stevenson was talking about Easter and Third Nephi and the Book of Mormon, he said, quote, "We hope to make these chapters in Third Nephi as much a part of our Easter tradition as Luke 2 is of our Christmas tradition. The Book of Mormon shares the greatest Easter story ever told. Let it not be the greatest Easter story never told. I invite you to look at the Book of Mormon in a new light and consider the profound witness it bears of the reality of the risen Christ." Close quote.
So we have a local, I believe it's the Central Baptist Church in Waycross, Georgia, that they do a live nativity scene. We, as a youth group, both wards here locally went and watched that, and of course they invite the community, and I believe they do it annually. They may do it biannually because it's a pretty big production. But anyway, do a really, really good job with it. And so with Ed, Michael, with what you were just saying, it just, you know, helped me really to have those experiences to walk with Christ here on earth. Mentions here in the Book of Mormon when he visited the Nephites here. Just Michael, we were talking earlier in the week, and you said to me, you're just ready for Jesus to return. And
yes,
and
I am.
What a great day that's going to be for sure. So.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest Easter messages, at least to me and to President Nelson, is forgiveness. That Easter teaches about forgiveness. And he put out a video where he talks about that. And he says that forgiveness doesn't mean we condone sin. It doesn't mean we condone someone's wrongful actions. And it doesn't mean that we don't protect ourselves or get ourselves out of an abusive situation. But it does mean that we forgive them. And he says that not forgiving someone is like poison to us. And forgiving them is allowing the Savior to heal us and to take that burden of pain from us. He recounted an experience where he actually named it by name. He says the Hatfields had three kids, and they all had congenital heart failure or heart disease or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he operated on two of the girls, and after the surgery, they both died. And he talked about the pain that he felt, and he said, understandably, the parents blamed me for their deaths. And he said he tried to reach out to them for over 60 years, asking for forgiveness. And he said, and just a couple of years ago, so I imagine, I mean, I'm not sure when he put the video out, but I think he put it out while he was president of the church, or is president of the church. So I would imagine here's the president of the church, the prophet, currently living, wrestling with guilt, seeking forgiveness from a family. And he said a couple years ago, remarkably, they agreed to meet with him. And he said, on bended knee, he begged for their forgiveness. And they forgave him. And it was a very touching video that he put out. It brings it all to, you know, none of us are beyond the pains and travails of this world. Not only do we need others to forgive us, but we need to be able to forgive them. And then he quoted the scripture that says, if we forgive men of their trespasses, our Father will forgive us. But if we forgive them not, neither will he forgive us. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, maybe you ought to do some forgiving yourself.
I was thinking what you were saying. There was I heard a comedian recently was kind of joking around a little bit about Christians and how crazy it is that a common Christian prayer or a common refrain in Christian prayers is God forgive us, is forgive others, or basically treat me like I treat others, forgive my sins as I forgive the sins of others. And he said, that's pretty crazy, because how well do you treat other people? How easily do you forgive other people? And yet our common prayer is for God to treat us exactly how we're treating other people. That's a pretty bold statement, pretty aspirational, that we're going to hopefully get better at loving and forgiving.
I was trying to think of that quote, Michael, while you were talking. Holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting it to harm the other person.
Right.
While I was trying to find who said that, though, I did find a similar quote from the Buddha, I guess. The Buddha said something similar, that he said, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You are the one who gets burned.
It's kind of like eating corn dogs and ice cream and expecting it somehow that to nourish you.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. We said a blessing before we ate it.
Okay. Please so miraculously blessed. Change this chemistry of these vile that's things right. that I'm about to put in my body that somehow I'll gain nourishment.
Yeah. That's right. Haven't you been to a Southern Thanksgiving yet? You got like two plates of food and you're like, please bless this food to nourish my body.
No, but I've heard several Southern prayers where they talk about putting a hedge of protection around us. And I don't know.
I haven't eaten a hedge yet.
But those of you that are familiar with a hedge, I don't want a hedge of protection. I want a dadgum brick wall. I mean, who wants a, you know, I mean, I could stick my arm through a hedge. That's not going to give me much protection.
They're just hedging their bets.
There you go.
Wah.
We're gonna have to start paying Joe for these,
or we should start fining him. I don't know which one.
Yeah, there you go.
If I can pay in IOUs, it's a deal.
So
I was just saying one thing that I wondered about, you know, what, and maybe he did, maybe we just don't have that account. I don't know. We know that Jesus went back and visited, you know, many people. He says, you know, other sheep I have. And I'm sure he visited many, many cultures around the world. Did he go back and visit, like, what if he would have went back to Jerusalem and not just visited, you know, the 12 and Mary and others, but what if he would have appeared in the temple or in the courts where the Sadducees or Pharisees were? I mean, would they still have rejected him, do you think? Or was he maybe, and because of that, maybe he didn't, because he didn't want them to seal their own fate and doom by
not acknowledging that witness by, and still denying it?
Yeah, that's the word, by denying that witness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting. Yeah, we don't know. We do know that there will be further scripture revealed. You know, there are, you know, records that were kept that of other people that we don't yet have. And so there could have been, you know, we know we have the record of, you know, his appearance to the people on the American continent, wherever that might be. I'm not going to get into the debates about that, the Heartland model or any of that kind of stuff right now, but somewhere in the Americas, and there could have been other places that he visited as well.
We don't know. I think it's very, very possible and probably likely that he did as well, for sure.
Yep, absolutely. You know,
why not? He's a savior of all.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say that he didn't visit other worlds?
True.
During that time as well.
Yeah.
True.
Sounds
very true.
You're getting into some deep stuff now. Jax, watch out.
Some deep space. Deep space stuff.
Crowding into our linger longer.
Yeah.
Hey, I do want to say something about Easter, though, about the come follow me. That there is an Easter study plan in Come Follow Me for the Week that has daily readings, and definitely check that out. So it starts on Palm Sunday, March 24th. The readings about, and there's readings from the New Testament and the Book of Mormon that correspond to each day. Starting on Palm Sunday is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and this is from the New Testament. Monday, March 25th is the cleansing of the temple. Tuesday, March 26th was teaching in Jerusalem. Wednesday, the 27th, rest and miracles. Thursday, the 28th, Passover and suffering in the garden. Friday, March 29th, trial, crucifixion, and burial. Saturday, ministry in the spirit world. And then Sunday, the resurrection.
Nice.
Wow. So that's, yeah, daily reading that follows the week preceding Christ's crucifixion and resurrection.
There's also 16 videos. If you click on the link for Easter videos, there's 16 videos that you can watch. The first one pops up is President Nelson talking about the story with the Hatfields. And so, but if you look in the right-hand corner, at first it looks like that's the only video, but in the middle of the page and on the right side, there's an arrow button there that you can click, and there's 15 more videos besides that one that you can watch. Pretty cool.
Nice.
Lots of good stuff out there. Great, great resources. And I'd actually like to share something from one that comes from this within this Easter discussion as well, or this week's. And it's actually kind of a continuation of what we talked about last week with, you know, Christ, you know, being the quote unquote original therapist and everything. But this is actually from the For Strength of Youth magazine. And it says, working with weakness is the Savior's specialty. Mm. And I read through this, and it was just really, really touching to me. But I'd like to read from here, from some of it. And I'm actually going to share the screen real quick. All right. So working with weakness is the Savior's specialty. Jesus Christ can help us grow through struggles, not just go through them. Mason doesn't feel God's love like in the past. He has been battling clinical depression for a few years with little success, and he worries that his dreams might never be fulfilled. Anna hears other youth talk about experiences with revelation and miracles. Though she tries, she doesn't feel like she's getting answers or having spiritual experiences like everyone else. Ethan wonders if he'll ever feel clean or worthy again. He has given in to certain temptations so many times that he feels a loss of control and wonders if he has permanently lost his promised blessings. He wonders if he can ever be forgiven and increasingly feels guilty at church. Madison struggles with an eating disorder. Olivia has a learning disability. Connor struggles with scrupulosity, obsessive moral guilt. Abigail has been abused and feels like she has no value. Jake's parents are going through a divorce, and he feels hurt and confused. Jaden was betrayed and doesn't feel he can forgive. People have so many struggles, but there is one solution. That solution has a name, Jesus Christ. These people all want to feel strong, clean, happy, and whole again, yet they can't solve their problems on their own. But Jesus Christ offers help. In fact, working with weakness is his specialty. His help doesn't usually come exactly how or when we want, but it does come. And so then it goes on and gives some ideas on how to overcome those things and apply Christ help in our lives. But Christ's atonement, his suffering, it doesn't just pertain to our sins. It pertains to all areas and all walks of life. And I just thought that was just a really good illustration of everybody having issues and problems and where to turn.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right. I was thinking back. My wife gave an excellent talk a year or two ago around Easter time. It was like an Easter-themed talk. And I was thinking back on that, reading back on it a little bit. There was part, she kind of related it to springtime and kind of new birth, new life, turning a new page and writing our own book, essentially. And she, toward the end of her talk, she said, "You write your own story. No one else does. Do people and events and circumstances come in and out of your life? Absolutely. But those things aren't holding you the pen. You are. You create the life you want to live and how you want your story to play out. Prioritize your time, your values, your decisions, and who you surround yourself with. No matter if you're 12 or 64, single or have a family of 9, regardless if you just made the worst decision of your life or the best, every moment, every interaction, and every decision is part of your story. Live with purpose. You are the author of your life. You can't go back and change the prior chapter, but you can always change the course of the next chapter. You can always make yourself the protagonist, even if you were just someone who used to stand on the sideline. Yesterday is gone. Close that chapter and write a new chapter of success. Life is what you make of it, so make it the best and know that you have greatness within you that is waiting to be put down on paper. We all make mistakes we cannot fix, experience losses we cannot recover, and face pains, persecution, tragedies, burdens, and disappointments we cannot handle alone. The good news is that we don't have to handle this life alone. As we bring Christ into our lives, we can be equipped and prepared to handle the bad pages and chapters in our story. When you are hanging by a thread, make sure it's in the hem of his garment."
Your wife wrote that?
Yeah, that last part she had found as a quote on the internet, because someone else asked about that last part. When you are hanging by a thread, make sure it's from the hem of his garment.
No, but I mean that basically the whole thing she wrote.
Yeah.
That's well written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's great. You got, is that in a frame somewhere? It's not, it should be in a frame.
It's in my email. Just as good as a frame. I mean, come on.
That was really good.
You might want to talk to Bishop Moore and just the bishopric about having her give a talk about that. That would be really profound.
Mm-hmm. Tell her to read the same talk over.
Of course. I've never really heard good. It before.
It's really good.
So the title of the lesson this week is Risen with Healing in His Wings. So it seems like an odd phrase. So it reminds me of a story. I was just looking for, actually, matter of fact, I just thought of this. I hadn't thought of it until just now, but I just found it on the internet. I'd like to read this really quick. The forest fire had been brought under control, and the group of firefighters were working back through the devastation, making sure all the hot spots had been extinguished. As they marched across the blackened landscape between the wisps of smoke still rising from the smoldering remains, a large lump on the trail caught the firefighter's eye. As he got closer, he noticed it was the charred remains of a large bird that had burned nearly halfway through. Since birds can so easily fly away from the approaching flames, the firefighter wondered what must have been wrong with this bird that it could not escape. Had it been sick or injured? Arriving at the carcass, he decided to kick it off the trail with his boot. As soon as he did, though, he was startled by a flurry of activity around his feet. Four little birds flailed in the dust and ash and then scurried away down the hillside. The bulk of the mother's body had covered them from the searing flames. Though the heat was enough to consume her, it allowed her babies to find safety underneath. In the face of the rising flames, she had stayed with her young. She was their only hope for safety, and willing to risk her own life, she gathered them under her body and covered them with herself. Even when the pain reached its most unbearable moment, when she could have easily flown away to start another family on another day, she made herself stay through the raging flames. Her dead carcass and her fleeing chicks told the story well enough. She gave the ultimate sacrifice to save her young. It also illustrates an even greater story, this one almost incomprehensible. In this story, it is the creator of heaven and earth who does exactly the same thing to rescue his wayward children from their own destruction. So yeah, that's what I thought of when I was thinking about that just now, thinking about the title of this lesson. And I know I'd heard that story before. And I think that's a really good analogy. And Christ did the same thing for us.
It reminds me of a quote from Jeffrey R. Holland. The first great commandment of all eternity is to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. That's the first great commandment. But the first great truth of all eternity is that God loves us with all of his heart, might, mind, and strength.
Good stuff.
Yeah, this comes from Elder Holland.
Still struggling with the same things despite my efforts.
For one thing, what you learn is that maybe what you're dealing with and your goals and your objectives are not trivial. They're not insignificant. Because if they were trivial, you could probably do them easier. If it were a piece of cake, it'd be a piece of cake. Patience has been mentioned, the controlling anger. Those aren't the little issues. So pat yourself on the back that you're not just doing this casually or whimsically. It's more important than that. But I would say part of the magnificence of gospel living and gospel example is something as fundamental as persevering. Regardless of the discipline, regardless of what happens, regardless of winds that blow and setbacks that come, just persevere. As almost superficial as it sounds, for me, it is terrifically hardening because that I can do. To be Wonder Man, I may not be able to do. To be the perfect parent or the perfect husband or the perfect anything, I know I'm not going to measure up there, but I can at least keep trying. I can at least get up every morning and put one foot ahead of the other. Just keep trying. And maybe that's the greatest virtue in all eternity. Maybe that trumps patience and controlling anger and all those things you're working on. What if perseverance and determination to just keep trying, what if that is greater than all of those other virtues put together? Seems to me maybe it is, because it seems to me almost God's guarantee that you'll get the others.
When I first was watching that, when he did the just keep, I was like, striving. He's just trying. So, all right, okay, well, guess what? We'll have to do it. We'll have to settle for trying. Yeah.
You should have dubbed over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a quick cutaway to Jackson going, striving.
Yeah. I like
it. Or an obvious voice overdub.
Well, we hope everybody out there has a wonderful Easter celebration, remembering our Savior Jesus Christ and what all he has done for us. Enjoy your families, and until next time, y'all keep on striving. Very good. Very good.
Yes, the corn dogs and ice cream were very good.